open up the ears and the hearts, Lord, that need to be open to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Glory to God. December, we have some birthday, but we have a very special young man that Timothy coming down. Glory to God. We know Timothy from the beginning. Pray for this young man, and I can't believe he's, what, 15? Wow. Isn't that awesome? Glory to God. Been raised in the house of the Lord with some awesome parents, and he has such a good testimony. He's a miracle of God, and every time I see Timothy, I get encouraged to know that God lives, amen, and he loves him, and the Lord has such calling and such awesome things for you. And when he was younger, I remember it came to my mind that the peace of God, he will bring peace, you know, wherever he walk in, and joy, and just that anointing when he walks in, when Timothy walks in, since he was yay big, there was such a soft and a peaceful, he bring the presence of God. And that, don't you love people like that? We need more of that, right? Right? And some people, they walk in and bring the presence of the Lord. Others, you hide from them. No. But so we appreciate that you are a vessel of honor, that you love the Lord, that you allow the Spirit of the Lord to use him in a mighty way. And sometimes that secret place that the Lord has for you, the secret place that he speaks to your heart, know that that's the Lord and the Spirit of God, and that you're going to continue to do great things. Amen? You see? Amen. The Lord is just testifying of that, right? Glory to God. So again, we thank you for being obedient and loving the Lord. And we wish you all the best. And just going to bless you. And I know there is others that December is the birthday. We still have another Sunday, so I might do it. But today, I just want to bless him. Would that be okay? Right? And next Sunday, I'll embarrass you again. So don't think for a minute that you're out of it, all right? Glory to God. Pastor George, let's bless him.
Thank you for Timothy. Lord, we bless him. We thank you, Lord, that you formed him, you created him, you destined him for great things. Father, you equip him with all the things that you knew he would need. And now, Father, we pray that you bring those things forward and forth. Father, as he matures in you, and Father, we pray that the way will be made clear for all the things that you've called for him. Father, that he would put the hands to the plow and go forward, never looking behind. And Father, we pray that all the purposes that you have instilled within him would come to pass, and that many will be blessed by his their interaction with him. And Father, we thank you. We bless him in this special weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Before we dismiss children, just a quick announcement that didn't make it into your bulletin. As we announced, next Sunday is our Christmas service, and there'll be lots of specials. So the Children's Church is going to be participating in like a nativity scene as part of the special. And so we need to know no later than Tuesday if your child is going to be here and participate in it. So if you can let Jennifer know today, tomorrow, Tuesday at the absolute latest, if your child's going to be here, we want to make sure we have the right costumes, we have positions filled. We don't want any child showing up on Sunday and being like, hey, can I be in it? And scrambling to find a costume or something like that. So let her know no later than Tuesday. And then Saturday morning, what did we say, 10? Saturday morning at 10, a quick walkthrough. It won't be long, you're not giving up your whole morning. So if you could just bring your child Saturday morning at 10 for a quick walkthrough of what the nativity scene is going to look like, we would greatly appreciate it. And with that, we will dismiss the children ages 3 through 8, 9 through 12-year-olds, you guys are with me, and we'll be heading upstairs right after the announcement. So 9 through 12-year-olds, sit tight for a second. 3 through 8, you are dismissed to your classrooms next door. So as I mentioned, don't forget the Christmas service is a week from today, December 21st at 10:30 a.m. here in our lovely sanctuary. The Sunday service will be our Christmas service. So invite a loved one, a friend, somebody that may otherwise be a little hesitant to come to church. The holidays tampers that hesitancy. So take advantage of that and bring them so they can hear the real reason for the season. And then with the holidays coming up and people traveling and just all kinds of schedules being shifted, there is no childcare during the Wednesday service this week. So we are having midweek service this week, the 17th, as usual, but there won't be childcare. So please coordinate that on your own. And then on December 24th and 31st, there will not be service at all. We'll be canceling those midweek services here at the church, and they'll resume again in the new year on January 7th. And then with the coming new year, there is a suggested leadership meeting. Just kidding. There's a mandatory leadership meeting on January 11th at 6 o'clock here at the church. So if you're part of the leadership team, leadership of a particular ministry, please put that on your calendar and plan to be here January 11th. And then tonight, the ladies are gathering together for a Christmas party at the pastor's house. There is a typo there. It says 5 o'clock. Please don't show up at 5 o'clock. Pastor Asia will not be ready. She might actually lock her door. That door is very rarely locked, but it might be locked at 5 o'clock. So ladies, 6 o'clock is when you're asked to come. So just scratch that out with a pen, put 6 o'clock. And I know the ladies will have lots of fun tonight at the pastor's home. Please bring a side dish to share and an ornament to exchange. And then one other announcement that's not in your bulletin. If you are a teenager, a youth, or a teenager's mother or father, I handed these out last week to as many teens and or parents that I could find. If I missed you, please get one of these from me today. It's the registration form for Rock the Universe. We're trying to get our numbers finalized, and so this will just help me, help us to get that coordinated, make sure we have the numbers correct. And if you have any questions about that, about this, please see either Jennifer or me or Aaron right after the service. And also this Friday is our youth Christmas party upstairs. It'll be lots of fun. We are doing a gift exchange and having some fun, so any questions about that, see us after the service, and we'll give more details. And that is all the announcements for this morning. If you're a first-time visitor, we welcome you. We're glad you're here with us. Hopefully we greeted you and put a welcome packet in your hand. That welcome packet just tells a little bit about who we are and why we do the things we do. And in there is on that card, you can fill out information about yourself, and you can place that card in the offering plate to the side here, or the box in the back. And in there it does talk about giving, and we believe that giving is an act of worship. You can give throughout the service as you feel led by the Lord. We don't dedicate a specific time or moment of the service to take up tithes and offerings, but you can give as you feel led by the Lord by bringing your offering to the plate up front, the box in the back, or online at lmclabelle.org, and there's a give button in the top corner. We are going to bless it at this time, so if you'll bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sweet time in your presence this morning already, God. Lord, we're in anticipation of what else you have in store for us for the rest of this service, God. I thank you for every family represented here with us in person and online, God. I thank you that you've placed them in this family for a specific time, a purpose, and a reason, God. You see each one of us. You know exactly what we're going through, and I pray that you would meet the needs of every family here, God. I thank you for the tithes and offerings that have been given and will be given throughout the service, Father. I pray that you bless them and multiply them. Lord, we ask for wisdom and guidance for the board of directors as they allocate the funds, that they do so according to your will for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 9 through 12-year-olds, we're upstairs.
Myself on. Just want to be clear in communication. Well, Christmas Day's almost here. It's around the corner. We celebrate Jesus' birthday. Remember that? It's not just celebrate one another. It is the time to celebrate Jesus' birth. There are many prophetic words about Jesus that were given by people in the Old and New Testament, well, the Old Testament. And a lot of those words were given by prophets. You know, in preparation for this celebration last year, we talked about angels and we, you know, they were mentioned today as well. Today we're going to talk about some specific aspects regarding the birth of Jesus. And one of the things that always amazes me is how many prophetic words regarding the Lord Jesus and specifically his birth. Biblical scholars cite over 300 prophecies, many of them focusing specifically on his birth. There were a lot of events that happened during that time. And a lot of these prophetic words include Jesus' lineage, Matthew and Luke. They spent some time while they wrote the Gospels to include the lineage of Mary and Joseph to point out that Jesus came from the lineage that was supposed to be. And so these prophetic words talk about Jesus would be part of a certain specific lineage. The birth location is specified, and many miraculous circumstances around his birth and even before his birth. Today I want to focus on, there's a scripture in the book of Micah in the Old Testament. Micah is one of the lesser prophets, and they call him lesser because the books are smaller, not because they're less than Isaiah or Jeremiah, you know. So they're just as important. But in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, there's a hidden scripture. It says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time that she," talking about Mary, "who is in labor, has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide for now. He shall be great to the ends of the earth. And this one shall be peace. We've been talking already about the peace of God. And Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Now I'm going to talk today a little bit about Bethlehem. Bethlehem was foretold by Micah to be the place of Jesus' birth. Now this prophetic word came 700 years before the actual birth took place. Can you imagine, you know, somebody in the 1300s prophesying about you being born in such a specific place? Probably LaBelle wasn't even around here. And yet Micah said, this baby shall be born in Bethlehem. There are a few interesting facts about the city of Bethlehem throughout the Old Testament. Bethlehem is mentioned as the burial site of Jacob's wife, Rachel. You know, you have Abraham, his son Isaac, and then his son Jacob. And Jacob had wives, and one of them was Rachel. And while they were headed to Ephrata, which the scripture clearly distinguishes it is as being Bethlehem, the same, it was called then Ephrat. And so that's the first time that Bethlehem is mentioned. And then it was there in Bethlehem that Jesse, the father of David, that was his home city. Jesse and his eight other boys, there were eight of them. And so Samuel, the prophet, came into Bethlehem. And, you know, they saw Samuel coming in. I said, oh, is it good that you're coming in or is it bad? Because everything Samuel said came to be. And so Samuel said, be cool, be cool. No, he had to be careful because he was going to anoint a king while there was another king, Saul. And if Saul found out that Samuel was anointing somebody else while he was in the throne, that would not have made him happy at all. So Samuel went to Bethlehem, called Jesse and all his sons, and finally they had to call David from the sheep. And when Samuel saw David coming in, the Lord told him, that's the one I want. Anoint him right then and there. And so David was anointed before his brethren right there in Bethlehem. Interesting things that happened in Bethlehem. Bethlehem was a strategic location when... Now, it was David, then Solomon, and then after Solomon, the kingdom of Israel, the 12 tribes got divided. There was a north tribe called Israel, and the southern tribes called Judah. And so Rehoboam was part of the southern tribe, was the king of the southern tribe, and the north tribe, which was 10 of the tribes, called Israel. Israel and Judah were always fighting. And so Rehoboam, king of the south, decided, hey, let's build up Bethlehem because this is a very strategic place. If anything happens in Jerusalem, we can go and retreat to Bethlehem and that place will be fortified. So at the time of the kings, Bethlehem was a very fortified city, a very key location on a major route. Now, you know the story of Ruth and Boaz, right? Well, Boaz was from Bethlehem as well. He was living there when Ruth and Naomi came over, and that was their city as well. So Ruth and Naomi connected. You know the story of Ruth. They got married and they settled in Bethlehem. And from there, it was, I think it was David's grandfather. And so, or great-grandfather, one or the other. And so, a lot of story about the descendants that led to Jesus in Bethlehem. When the Herodian kingdom got in charge of Israel, Bethlehem was a very humble agricultural village within the Herodian kingdom in all that area of Israel. Now, Bethlehem was known as Migdal Eder. Doesn't mean anything to you, but it translated means Tower of the Flock. What does that mean? This was the place, Bethlehem and its surroundings, was the area where the unblemished lambs for Passover sacrifices were born and were cared and raised up and wrapped up for the Passover sacrifices. Very important, once a year. Remember that Passover celebration was a very special one. And so these Passover lambs had to be unspotted, unblemished. And so Bethlehem was a place where they raised these special lambs. And this was a powerful symbol for the future Lamb of God, Jesus himself, that would be born in Bethlehem. And then finally, the Roman census brought Joseph and Mary out of Nazareth. You'll see the map in a minute. Joseph and Mary were descendants of David. And so even though they were living in Nazareth, their descendants, being descendants of David, they have to subscribe themselves in the census that was requested in the city of David, which was Bethlehem. And that's the time that Mary and Joseph came down and the baby Jesus was born. Now, there's a map that I try to do something with. Let me see. Now, let's see. Does this show? Not in the black. Well, never mind. So you have Nazareth up there. Now, this is most of Israel. You have Nazareth on the top. You have Samaria, which you remember Jews didn't want anything to do with Samaritans because they were a half-breed. You know, they were mixed with the heathens. So then it's movement. Huh? Then you got Judea, and then you got Jerusalem. So by road, Mary and Joseph had to make a 70 to a 90 mile trip to go from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Now, you see the black road from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That was a rocky trail. That was very mountainous. And, you know, these three maps I found on the web, you know, describing the possible route of Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem. But in my thinking, that was too rocky. And then elevation changes and lack of places to rest. That was not a very probable in my book. So that would have been the shorter route, the black one, but very unlikely because of the territory. And also there were thieves and robbers and all kind of stuff. And Mary pregnant, Joseph trying to take care of her. Mary was sitting on a donkey. Joseph was walking. So he walked 70 to 90 miles. So now, the red path seems to indicate, you know, again, people travel The Jews didn't travel through Samaria. They tried to avoid it at all costs, even if it was longer. So one of the possible trips, the red one, was to the west of the Jordan River, which probably was a pretty good route to take because it was mostly flat, coming along river area, which didn't have high elevations. There were residences where they could take breaks. You know, pregnant women, they need potty breaks every so often, you know. And so, you know, in her condition, she couldn't travel all day, you know, and all night. So she had to take breaks. She had to rest. The trip could have taken anywhere from 7 to 10 days because of the rough terrain and her pregnancy. Now, the other potential route was crossing the Jordan, going on the Perean side, and ended up back through Jericho to Jerusalem. I tend to favor the second, the red line. And so if that's the case, that was probably the route most taken. And remember, there were other people that were going to the census as well. And so most people would travel with children. They would take the less dangerous route. There would be crowds. So that will make the trip even a little longer than usual. It is very likely that they entered Jerusalem from the east side, you know, from Jericho up to Jerusalem. This was the same gate that Jesus entered to make his triumphant entry. You remember the Palm Sunday? Jesus comes riding on a donkey. Well, when Mary and Joseph was going to Bethlehem, they probably went through Jerusalem. They entered through the same gate, and Jesus was also sitting on a donkey as a baby in the mother's womb. Little details that you don't think about until, oh, he made the entry twice to the same gate, sitting on a donkey both times. One was more cozy than the other, in mama's belly. So now, just as prophets announced details of Jesus' birth, prophets also have announced details about Jesus' return. Now, there are more than 2,000 references to Jesus' return in the Bible. That's a lot. And so the Old Testament, I mean, the Jesus' birth, there were about 300 prophecies. Jesus' second coming, his return, there's at least 2,000, if not more, probably much more. And once again, prophets, both in the Old and New Testament, have given many specific details on this event that is coming pretty soon. Now, let's speak a little bit about prophets. Prophets are mentioned throughout the entire Word of God. They were selected individuals that God used to speak his word to man as they were inspired and given specific messages for specific individuals, groups, cities, countries, and for humanity in general. These individuals were chosen, anointed of God, and used by God to hear the voice of the Lord and to do signs and miracles in the Lord's name and in his direction to convey the will of God to people. Now, several major Old Testament prophets are well known and distinguished. You know them by name. You know the great prophet Elijah, his protege Elisha. You know about Isaiah, Jeremiah. You know, Moses was also called a prophet. Jonah was a prophet. And there are a few others, a few other great ones also that were used mighty of God. Other prophets were not widely known, yet they were used of God to do specific tasks for the Lord at critical times to accomplish God's will and to record these events so that they could be incorporated in what we call the Bible, the written word of God to mankind, to you and to me. Now, some of these prophets in the Old Testament, they were leaders of the people of Israel. I mentioned Samuel a while ago, and it is said of Samuel that none of the words that he spoke were not fulfilled. I mean, none of the words were unfulfilled. They all happened, and so he had that reputation. He was a judge over Israel at the time that there were no kings yet, and so he was very honored and respected and obeyed, and his word was right on every time. And so Samuel was a great prophet and leader of Israel. David, King David, he was called to be king, but he also functioned as a prophet who wrote many prophecies concerning Jesus Christ himself. Excuse me. Now, as with every ministry gift, there are great prophets, there are bad prophets, and there are false prophets. Now, as I mentioned, Samuel was a very great and very well-respected prophet, because when he spoke the word of the Lord, the word always came to pass, whether it was a good word or a bad word, you know, speaking blessing or bad things, and they always happen. Now, in Numbers chapter 22, chapter 22 through 24, there's a prophet mentioned there. His name is Balaam, and he was a bad one. He was a bad prophet. Now, he was a prophet, but he was a bad one. He would hear the voice of the Lord, but he had a big problem. He was greedy, and he was very selfish. And so even though he gave accurate words of the Lord, his character was terrible, and he ended up dying. And then there were many false prophets representing many different false gods and different thoughts of belief. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, there is one mentioned there, specifically a false prophet. His name was Bar Jesus. That was at the time in the book of Acts. And so all through the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, you have good ones. Well, you have good prophets and you had bad ones as well. And then you had the false ones, one specifically mentioned in the scripture. Now, in the New Testament, when Jesus ascended to heaven after his resurrection, he gave ministries to the body of Christ to lead and to guide the church in the way of the Lord. So that was when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts. And these gifts or callings are listed in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And Ephesians 4:8 starts saying, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, when he ascended to heaven after 40 days showing himself up, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And then jump into verse 11, he says, and he, that's Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, so it is Jesus who gave these gifts to people in the body of Christ to feed the body of Christ. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, again, the prophets are mentioned. He says, and God has appointed this in the church. That's the church. This is a new dispensation. And he's talking about apostles, second prophets, teachers, after that miracles and gifts and healings, helps, administration, varieties of tongues, etc. So, there are several men mentioned in the New Testament that are called prophets. And I wrote various names here and the places where they are mentioned. Agabus is called a prophet, and he gave a word to Paul, and then he predicted a famine. And both things are spelled out in the reference there. Judas and Silas are both called prophets in the book of Acts, chapter 15. And then in Acts chapter 13, there are five guys mentioned. They say Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Paul, Saul. They are called prophets and teachers. So they were either prophets or teachers, or both. I tend to think that they were both. So God can give multiple ministries to a certain individual. And, you know, if you read enough the New Testament, you even see people progressing from one ministry to another based on the use that God wants, that Jesus wants to give them. You see the Apostle Paul, he began teaching, and then his apostolic ministry developed, but before then he's called a prophet. So I know that many Christian denominations teach that the office of the prophet is done away with, but there is no scripture reference to confirm this. In fact, these scriptures confirm otherwise. And even Jesus said that he would send prophets to Jerusalem in the future times, meaning after he was gone. In Matthew 23, verse 24, Jesus says, therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill. So when he says you will, that's talking about the future. So while Jesus was here, he was a prophet. He was a selected, perfect prophet. But after that, he will send other prophets. And he said, some of them you will kill and crucify, or some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. So even in the New Testament, towards the church, God appointed prophets. So this is not just an Old Testament ministry. It's a New Testament church ministry that is needed. Prophets today, they're not perfect and they're not infallible. We have a lot of pastors and teachers and evangelists that are pretty much accepted by the church in general, and you know that they're not perfect or infallible either. As I said before, there are some good ones, there are some bad ones, and there are some false ones. Jesus is the only one who appoints every ministry to his church. Jesus was the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, and the evangelist. He is the perfect fivefold minister. After him, some of us have been appointed to the church, but we have our flaws, as you well know by now. We don't often question when a person calls himself or herself a pastor. Now, we may rate him as average, good, poor, etc., but we don't call him fake or false. Why would we do that with a prophetic ministry? However, we will know each ministry by their fruit or the effectiveness of their ministry as God has called them to minister. And trust me, Jesus gave the five gifts, according to Ephesians 4, for building up the church so that he can come for a spotless bride. And boy, do we need to be scrubbed, because we got a lot of spots. So, in the New Testament dispensation, we as Christians, we're called to be led of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord in us will witness in us whether to accept a prophetic word given from a prophet or to reject it as not coming from the Lord himself. True prophets may miss at times, and we may misjudge them at times. Correct? We can do that. Their prophecy may be okay, but we say, nah, that can't be. And we've done that several times. That doesn't make them or us false. It just makes us human, with the potential to fail from here and there. Imperfect people, imperfect vessels. If Jesus gave gifts to the church, including prophets, and he said that they were intended to mature Christians until we become mature, then ask yourself, is the church mature? Are all of us Christians mature? That's a definite no. Therefore, those ministries, including prophets and apostles, they're still in the church, whether we recognize them or not. You know, and some people are bent, call me apostle such and such. Who cares? I mean, you can call me Pastor George, that's fine. You can call me Brother George, that's fine too. You can call me George, that's fine too. Now, early on, I remember there was a minister that came to the house some time ago, and he was an apostle. He is probably still alive. He was an apostle then, but he was also a doctor. He has a doctorate degree. And so his name was Jim, and we all used to call him Dr. Jim. And so he came here, ministered to us and personally, and I would always call it Dr. Jim. And he says, you know, there's no anointing on the title of doctor. Call me Apostle Jim because there's an anointing in it. So, you know, if God gives you a name, a title, with it comes an anointing. You can be, you know, whenever you call me Pastor George, you're recognizing a gift that Jesus put in here to minister to you. You're drawing from that gift. So, you can call me Pastor. I take it. My wife and I can speak, and we do often speak of, by our own experience, about prophets ministering the word of the Lord to us. And we have had interactions with many prophets today. And because we consider the word given, and we believe that the Lord was speaking to us through those prophets, we receive the instruction and the promises of those prophetic words when we did the proper response. And that's a subject for another day, and we will do that probably this coming year again. We were encouraged with Jesus' words through those prophets to us, and we did spiritual warfare with the words and experienced victory that those words promise. And you say, well, what is that all about? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, Paul tells Timothy, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy. He wasn't his son. He was his protege, I guess. He was ministering. He was his mentee. He was mentoring Timothy. And so he called him son dearly. according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. We have been talking a lot about warfare. And so when a prophet or a prophetic minister ministers to you the word, and it makes it confirms what the Holy Spirit is telling you in your heart, then you got to do something with that word. I mean, you can look at it, you can hear the word and say, I'll put it in a shelf, pray about it. But once you know that this is the Lord speaking to you, then you need to do something with that word. We've done plenty of warfare with word, prophetic words given to us by prophets. And boy, you know, we have written a book, and it's being put together right now. And hopefully, I was hoping to get here by Christmas, but I don't know if it will or not. But in there, we share our testimony, and there are a lot of prophetic ministry that we have had that without it, we wouldn't be here. So I'm encouraging you. It's some prophetic word by the Spirit of God through a vessel gives you some hope and an expectation. Then grab those things and do something with them. And we'll talk about that some other quick time. Scripture is full of prophetic words given to whoever believes them and acts on them. I mean, you can believe, but if you don't act on it, it's still not very beneficial. God fulfills his word, whether it is a word of scripture or a word ministered by his anointed servants, the prophets, today. Are you a believer, or would you rather be a skeptic because of unscriptural teaching that you have received in the past? Say, prophets are gone. Prophecy, that's invention of man. No, it is scriptural. It is for today. And we have benefited from them personally. Jesus is coming back soon. And many prophets are helping us to prepare for that glorious day. Just as we, in a few days, we'll celebrate his birth, we will also, one day soon, behold his return. In fact, John finishes the book of Revelation with this scripture. Revelation 22:20. He said, he who testifies of these things, that's Jesus, says, surely I am coming quickly. And then John says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. If you live with a woman that every time we go to bed, she says, well, I hope the Lord comes tonight. Without fail, every night, I hope the Lord comes tonight. And I tell her, you know, you can go by yourself. No, she wants the Lord to take all of us together because she likes party. Listen, Christmas is about to be here. Are you ready to celebrate his birth? Not just exchange gifts and get together with others. Celebrate the birth of Jesus. And more important, are you ready to meet him at his soon return? He came, there was prophetic words, 300 prophetic words given, many of those talking about his first appearing as a baby. There are 2,000 plus scriptures talking about his imminent return. The ones about his birth, 300 of them happened. The ones about his returning. Do you think God is going to quit now fulfilling? No. You need to be ready. So if you need to be ready, then get with us. Get somebody that can lead you in a prayer of salvation. And then make that decision. Now let's stand and worship.
Yeah, you can do that now. Do it now before first.
Glory to God. Daniel, Mary Lou, I just felt by the Spirit to pray for you guys. So just reach out your hands and just being obedient to what the Lord, just because they're my children, doesn't pull them aside, right? And so we all know we're in anticipation, looking forward for the coming of this new baby. Yay! We're so excited. But we just want to cover them. Amen? Anytime from now on, right? Between the 2 weeks, we're excited. They diligent minister daily here in this house, and we appreciate them so much. From sound to dance to everything. So your faith, amen? Just reach out. Let's bless them. Father, according to your word, we lay hands on Daniel and Mary Lou, and we thank you for that gift of life that you're giving them, Lord. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus for them. We declare that no weapon that is raised against them will prosper. And we thank you, Father, for joy, peace, strength in the name of the Lord. Father, that everything will go according to your will. Father, the time, the season, the hour, the minute, they know you are with them. Holy Spirit, keep them, guide them. And Lord, Father, I just pray you that the favor of the Lord be upon them when they go to the hospital and the time come, that everything will work out for their good. And for this baby, we thank you again, Lord. We thank you, Father, fearfully, wonderfully made into your image. Father, cover Malo and Alicia as well, the whole family, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over all of them. And we thank you for this gift and for victory. And I know, Father, they will give you all the honor and the glory. Peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. And beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to that. altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to be. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether.